Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to this journey as we study the Word of God. We're looking at today's text, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. The unit of thought actually goes verses 1 through verse 7. We'll go as far as we can with that. But we're talking about today Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth. Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth. Now, you might ask the question, how do those things, three things, correlate? Why should we join the three together for a discussion? And it's simply because of this. Because of what we've seen in the past 6 to 7 months, on a national level, whereby fiat orders, churches have been closed, pastors have been arrested, put in jail, churches have been forbidden to have services, churches have been put in position that they can have only 10, 15, 20 people in the congregation, and across the board, our national economy has been shut down. And the mindset and the philosophy is those are laws, and as such, it's incumbent upon we the people, we the Christians, we as conservatives, it's incumbent upon us that we should obey those laws. I've had some to call and in a low-profile fashion chide me because of my stand that churches ought not to bow and bend and close the doors because the government says so. And yet there are those today, perhaps I'm talking to you, perhaps you're one of those that believe that we're disobeying God when as pastors, Christians, conservatives, we want to have our liberties and our freedoms, and we say that it's illegal to tell a church that you cannot open the doors. Now, in case you have that position, I'd love to hear from you today on this broadcast. We're going to be looking at a word study on Romans chapter 13. At least the first 4 or 5 verses, verses 6 and 7, deals with the authority that God has given government to tax us, and we're to give, pay tribute to God and to government. And so we'll look at all of the verses if possible. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not incumbent upon Christians to obey that which is not a legal law. And we'll talk about that. What forms a law? What is an executive order? What is it that simply want to be tyrants, that executive orders go out? A governor in Michigan continues to extend her executive orders. At the height of her executive orders, you couldn't go into a store and buy gardening seed. But yet a pot shop, abortion murder center could remain open. How do we differentiate those things? What do we do in response to society today? In fact, it was Benjamin Franklin that said rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. And I think we need to see what the scripture says rather than spouting off things that you do not know. And there are a number of folks today that do not understand what Romans 13 is saying. And as a result of that, they will make all kind of charges. In fact, another text that we'll not examine, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, is a very similar corollary text, but one speaks for the other as we exegete the Romans 13 text. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number today is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment. I would love to hear from you. What do you feel about the subject? How have you stood on this subject? After our brief monologue, we will open the lines and allow you to call in, and let's discuss it together today. I believe it's an imperative, important, urgent text for us to recognize what God is saying and what God is not saying. But as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, once again, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the source book of truth. As we face the issues, we need to look at it as Jesus sees it. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies truth a little further when he says in John 14:6, "I am truth." Then he clarifies it for us, and I'm using that term for the simplistics of speaking about it. When Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth," we need to stick to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God has set up government in the world, the governance over the church, the governance over the home, and civil government, which controls society to live in a fashion that honors God. And yet we're misunderstanding the grave point of what the text says in Romans 13. But when we talk about truth, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that's taking place today, listen to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and all of the others that's bowing, bending the knee in subjection and submission to BLM. BLM, Black Lives Matter, has nothing to do with skin color, but it's a socialist, Marxist, communist move to overthrow the United States of America. And in the midst of that, with the COVID-19, the pandemic that we've been facing, most of which has been fiat in numbers, most of which has been weaponized in order to destroy the potential of the re-election for President Donald J. Trump, we need to understand that we need to look for truth and seek the truth. It was Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." I don't have any greater legacy than a Christian can leave in leaving this old world is any other than the truth, standing on the truth, speaking the truth, loving the truth, defending the truth, even if we have to do so by ourselves. It is taking the truth step, and I believe that God calls on us to do that each and every day, even today, in the society in which we're living in. There ought to be a mindset that I'm going to tell the truth, seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. I believe we could see a vast difference in our society in general if we would put that into practice in each of our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Also, Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators and the backup equipment that can be utilized. They have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions in relationship to lawn care equipment and the hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. Find that flagpole at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to this journey because it's such a misunderstood, misinterpreted text that the mindset goes out that somehow, some way, that whatever regulation that a wannabe tyrant mayor or governor happens to put on the books, that somehow, some way, we're to lick the boots and bow and say, yes, sir, and be in subjection to it. God never intended that for his church in particular. God never intended that when he allowed our founding fathers to design and develop and put into place the world's greatest legislative system, the world's greatest freedoms, founded in the United States of America, codified in our Bill of Rights, in our Declaration of Independence, in our documents that gives us the liberties and the freedoms that we have today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Romans 13 and COVID-19 and biblical truth. And just for a starter, we're not going to exegete it at this juncture, but so that you can be kind of rotating it in your mind, let me just read you those verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that's speaking of government, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God and a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for the wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute for whom tribute is due, custom for whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13, which are all-encompassing, and they're mirrored also, as I stated earlier, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. So we're not going to traverse between the two units of thought, but we're going to stick to Romans 13, and I think that will give clarity to the one in 1 Peter that we spoke of by reference. But ladies and gentlemen, over the years, I've had an opportunity to explain the meaning, that is the biblical meaning in context, of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, which is generally referred to, ladies and gentlemen, as how and why Christians should obey every edict of government. Yes, that is exactly how it's interpreted, that whatever government says, that Christians ought to bow and bend and simply be obedient to what is said in the civil laws as they're passed. Now, I need to simply insert this at this moment. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast difference in a law under a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. There's a vast difference in a law that is in our system of government and a law that you'd find perhaps in Venezuela or in other places like North Korea or in places like the nations where have rejected God and where Islam is the dominating force. There's a vast difference in the laws in the United States of America and these socialist, Marxist, communist nations, where whatever the dictator says becomes law just simply by fiat and his statement, it becomes law. Ladies and gentlemen, in countries like that, the law changes every day, and the citizens never know what they're saying or doing that could be illegal, unlawful, and as a result of that, could have them incarcerated and or put to death. Civil government, ladies and gentlemen, is involved in the lives of all of Americans. Perhaps today, as never before, we find that true. We face the fiat lawlessness and the laws that we have that provide regulations for food products. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There's not any area or category of your life and mine, even in the land of the free and the home of the brave, the United States of America, there's not any area of our lives that's not controlled in some fashion by laws and legislation and that which tell us what to do and what not to do. As simple as a stop sign. Now, do you think that I'm saying that we ought not to obey a stop sign? Not on your life. That's not what I'm saying. But as simple as that, we have laws that are guiding and directing and controlling every aspect of life. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the government now regulates food products. They regulate the size of automobiles, the weight of automobiles, the gas mileage of automobiles. Laws in America today will literally control what you can drink and what you can have as a water product or as a milk product or in any other soft drink that you might drink. Government controls our educational system. This is the reason we're in such a quagmire today from the standpoint of having little Marxists come out of the universities with a PhD in their pocket, but they've been told that America's bad and needs to be overthrown. And ladies and gentlemen, that's as a result of government controlling education. That we're watching the end result of the educational process being controlled by the United States federal government, that is the U.S. Department of Education. Betsy DeVos is now the Secretary of Education in that department. I am prayerful that any day our president will give her authority and a authorization to go forward with the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education, remanding all education back to the states, and the states remanding it back to the local governments, the local individuals and the citizens. Then we might go back to something that would be called the educational system. Today in America, it's impossible to get out of bed. In fact, I had a constitutional attorney tell me this back many years ago. He said, "Doc, it's an impossibility for an individual to get out of bed, to get up, get dressed, and go to work without violating some kind of law or some kind of ordinance in America." Today, government controls our banks. Government controls our broadcast profession. Today, government controls the gas mileage in an automobile. Yes, government even controls what medical care that you can get and who can provide it. It is the government that is in control of all aspects of our lives today. So what is the biblical role of government in our nation? What should we look at? How should we ascertain what we should or should not do? By the way, just tuck in a little factual tidbit here. Every 12 months in the United States of America, with local legislation, state legislation, and federal legislation, with law, bills being introduced and laws being passed, we average in America today putting 250,000, let that sink in, 250,000 new laws on the books every 12 months. And none of the laws are removed. This is the reason to go to the archives of the laws in the city of New York, and you'll find in New York City that if you let your dead mule stay on the sidewalk more than 24 hours, you can be fined $3. Now, if that's not laughable and sad, nothing is. But that gives you an illustration of what is happening with the layer after layer after layer after layer of laws. This is the reason it becomes such a quagmire when it goes to a court case, because the judges generally will look at case precedents and not going back to the original. The original, that is the truth. The truth means the fidelity to the original. And we don't find that happening because we're putting the layer after layer after laws on the books today. So what's the biblical role of government in our nation? Today, we have panic, hysteria, and fear, and a concern because of COVID-19. Every citizen is being controlled by social separation or social distancing. Every human being in America being controlled by the requirement to wear a mask. Are those requirements to wear a mask legal? Are they unconstitutional? Are they unlawful? Should they be considered as law? Should Christians look at it on the basis, well, they say that you need to wear a mask, so I'm going to obey God, so I'm going to wear myself a mask. Okay, it says I've got to stay 6 foot apart from everybody else, and that's the law. So therefore, I'm going to have to obey that law. That's the way the average Christian looks at it. It begs to be asked and demands to be answered, what formulates a law? What makes a law? How are we to ascertain, how are we to discern whether something is law and a lawful legal law, or whether or not it's simply a fiat edict coming out of a wannabe mayor or governor that has taken control of the freedoms in America simply because of COVID-19. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the questions that are being asked today and bounded about is where we can shop and from what day to what day. These wannabe dictators are wanting to tell us. In fact, they're trying to get by fear and hysteria, trying to get the merchants to enforce their illegal, unconstitutional, unholy, unbiblical edicts that are not laws. Therefore, they're not, absolutely not enforceable. And you can go back, ladies and gentlemen, to all of these cases where pastors were arrested, where pastors were fined, churches were fined. And in each and every case, when a lawyer got involved and it got down to the first, not second or third, but the first administrative hearing and an administrative judge or law court, each and every one of those cases have been thrown out of court. Now, why is that so? Because they know that they're unenforceable. It is a tactic that's being used today in America to force Americans, to force citizens, to force Christians to bow and to bend at every whim and wish and demand of the government that is over us. It's as simple as that. Ladies and gentlemen, these wannabe dictator mayors and governors have the charge of institutionalization of executive orders, and they, as they deem them necessary. And let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, it's government in full control. It's government's full control over our lives today. And that's what they're wanting. They're wanting full control of our lives today by government orders, not laws, but executive orders that are enforced by the power of law. Hear me? These are executive orders that's being enforced by the power, the authority of law in our government today. Now, a law is after is where a bill has been introduced in the House or the Senate, where it's been bounded about and debated in open and closed session in committees, and then an open hearing, and then an up or down vote. If it votes with an up vote, then that bill passes. It goes to the governor or to the president or to the local city council and the president of the city council. It is then signed into law by the mayor or by the governor or by the president. It is only then, ladies and gentlemen, that it becomes law and not just a suggestion and not just a fiat executive order. Before it is, unless it is signed into law, in that process, it is illegal, it is unconstitutional, it's unholy, it's unbiblical, and ought not to simply be, we ought not to simply bow and say, yes, sir, when these things take place. And later in this broadcast, we're going to talk about why. Because it's very easy to control a people. It's very easy to shut down churches. It's very easy to make it a law in some fashion that you can't worship God. And we've got cases like that throughout the scripture where edicts were given and fact made as law, and yet it took those God-honoring men of old to say no to those unholy, ungodly laws. Ladies and gentlemen, executive orders are to be enforced by the power of law as these governors and mayors see it today. Orders to close churches, for example. Right now in America, there are thousands upon thousands of churches that are still closed because of executive orders that say that we need to protect you from COVID-19. So therefore, you can have a pot shop, a liquor store. You can go to Walmart, Lowe's, go to Home Depot, et cetera, et cetera. But don't you dare think that you can have worship services. Oh, no, COVID-19 breeds in churches. Didn't you realize that? And as a result of that, the orders to close churches, the orders to stay socially distanced, the orders on a national level to shut down our businesses across America, orders to wear face masks now. In fact, in some of the cities and some of the states, they're making it to the point that if you, the first time you're caught without a face mask, it can be a $500 fine. Second time, $750 fine. Third time, $1,000 fine and up to 90 days in jail. If you do not put on that mask, wearing the mask today has become a status symbol. Look at me, I'm following the law. Look at me, I'm obedient. Look at me, I'm a Christian that believes that we need to follow Romans 13. And Romans 13 says, thou shalt always wear a mask because the governor says that we should do so. Therefore, it is godly to wear the mask. That's the way people interpret that, ladies and gentlemen. Orders not to walk on wet sand at the beaches. You can walk on dry sand, not on wet sand. That's Gavin Newsom out of California. Orders to social distance at least 6 feet apart. Orders that say churches can have only a set number of people. Orders that requires neighbors to report on neighbors. Orders that allow pot shops to remain open and abortion clinics to remain open, and yet barbershops must be closed. By the way, in Michigan, the barber, 77-year-old barber, that challenged the orders that to continue to stay open, had his first administrative hearing last week. And at the open of the administrative hearing before a judge, it was dismissed. In fact, he had filed the case in the Supreme Court, and seven of the Supreme Court justices for his state said, you can't do that. It's illegal. It is unenforceable. You cannot tell a person he cannot work and make a living. Now, that was the Supreme Court out of that man's state. And yet we have those today, perhaps you, as you listen to this broadcast, you say, oh, but preacher, you're wrong. Don't you realize that we need to obey God, and obeying government is obeying God? We're going to look at that in a moment, determine that's not what the text is saying, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the challenge in that text. That's not the firm statement that is being made in God's word in relationship to what Christians ought to do. Orders can be enforced by jail, preachers fined, threatened, and even put in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, did those pastors disobey God when they said, we're going to obey God rather than man? Did those pastors disobey the word of God, the Romans 13 text? Were they in disobedience to God's word? Which comes first, the fiat orders of a local mayor or governor, or the orders from God that forsake not the assembling yourselves together? How do we have fellowship together online? How do we have worship online? And ladies and gentlemen, one of the horrific thoughts that you need to consider is the fact that many of these churches now that are thriving, as they call it, online, they will eventually have the doors slammed on their fingers in doing so, because the next step in the next crisis for America will be where the government says for all churches of all forms of worship that you must shut down. We're on the fast track for that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you, that telephone number is 831-0917. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This says, let's face the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to remind you that all that I have mentioned is taking place now. And the things that should frighten every citizen is that most people, including Christians, believe that our government has these far-reaching authorities, and that we should simply smile and say yes. For example, ladies and gentlemen, let me just use this as a vivid illustration. You know the couple, the man and his wife, that defended their property, and as a result of that, in St. Louis, as a result of defending their property, when about 300 mobsters broke the privacy gates down, came into their property, threatening to kill both husband and wife and burn their home down, because the husband and the wife both had legal permits to carry, one with his long weapon, as I call it, the other with a handgun, standing on their front porch, ordered the protesters to leave. Now, that is their legal constitutional right, according to the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself and your family, comes right out of the Word of God. It's the doctrine of self-defense. God's Word gave that to us. It was codified in our Constitution, confirmed by our courts, and be carried out by we the people. But now, as a result of them taking that stand, the authorities in St. Louis now saying that they're going to prosecute them for breaking the law, because after all, they pulled weapons on peaceful demonstrators, and they ought not to have done that. This article says St. Louis couple charged for defending their own home. St. Louis prosecutor on Monday filed charges against the couple, who drew national attention when they were seen pointing guns at protesters who were threatening them in front of their own home and had already broken the gates down. Quote, it's illegal, the prosecutors say there. It's illegal to wave a weapon in a threatening manner at those participating in nonviolent protest. And while we are fortunate this situation did not escalate into deadly force, this type of conduct is unacceptable in St. Louis, according to the circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, as she made the statement to the press. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good illustration now that we need to understand what the law has in its enforcement power as the authority under God to carry out. And yet we have those today that are saying that if we had applied this same context in the text of Romans 13, then we would say that that couple had no authority, no right to protect themselves, their lives, and the lives of their family members. And yet we're finding today it is taking a so-called law and it's inverting the law, making it look as though this couple that exercised their Second Amendment rights, exercised their right to self-defense as given in the Word of God, that somehow, some way, they have done something wrong. It's taking a law and it's inverting the law and making the one that is legally permissible to do what he's done, it's making him be the one that is the villain that ought to be punished for what they've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We want to continue the thought today. Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.